I want to thank you all once again for giving me this opportunity to stand before you and to bring to you God's Word as I believe He has given it to me. It's never easy to stand behind the pulpit, and no matter really what you're doing. But I, again, will ask you, as I always do, please pay attention to what God would have you hear and not me. Our scripture today comes from Luke chapter 13. We'll be starting with verse 1, reading through verse 9. Luke chapter 13. There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Were those 18 on whom the tower and Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. And then, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." May the Lord's blessing be upon the reading of His holy word. There are many things in this world that we don't understand, and we often find ourselves searching for answers. When people die tragically or go through much suffering, we're tempted to attribute their suffering or loss of life as an indication of the kind of person that they were. As we see in our scripture today, that Jesus was quick to dismiss the idea that a person's level of sinfulness was directly linked to how tragically they may have died or how much suffering they may have lived through. As we look around, we see a lot of suffering, and we know better than that ourselves. As Christians, we're often able to acknowledge our sinfulness because of the things we have done. But a lot of times we're not as quick to acknowledge our sinfulness because of things that God has asked us to do, but we have not done them. This will be our focus today, because as Jesus mentioned, we are to not focus on the lesser things of this earth, but instead on avoiding a spiritual death so that we may live an everlasting life. As we look at verses 6 and 7 of the text today, we see that it takes place in a vineyard. Yet we're not talking about grapes. We're talking about a fig tree. Now this is important to note. There's a fig tree in a vineyard because it was said that it was planted there by the vineyard owner. Now, that tells us that he specifically chose a fig tree. Now, judging by his anger when he came back continuously looking for figs on this fig tree had but one purpose. He planted it there because he wanted figs. Now, there's no other mention in the verses about there being any other problems with the tree. Strong trunk, full of leaves, and all outward appearances, this tree should have had figs. He had been waiting more than 3 years. That's well past the maturity date for a fig tree. So he had every right to expect that there would be figs on this tree by now. Yet it still produced none. Now each of us has been chosen by God for a purpose. A lot of times we find ourselves busy. We do a lot of things that, and we believe that we are serving God, and in many ways we are. But to the outward world, our appearance is nothing to God. We must make sure that He sees us as bearing fruit, that when He comes to call, He will find the fruit He's looking for. Because if we are not doing what God's will is, then He does not see us as bearing fruit. I think all of us can understand why He would be upset with a lack of production. I know a lot of us grow things. As I drive around, on the way to church this morning, I see a lot of gardens and plenty of cornfields. Cornfields everywhere. Now, in addition to those cornfields, maybe some of you have also planted some tomatoes. You have all that corn, but yet you still chose to put a tomato plant or two out because maybe from time to time we enjoy that slice of tomato on a sandwich. But if you watch your tomato plants, you put a lot of care into them, and those tomato plants, maybe they don't put any tomatoes on this year. Not one tomato. Don't worry about it. You got plenty of corn. Just go out and pick yourself an ear of corn, and then you can put some corn on your sandwich. Now, judging, I myself know that's not going to be a good replacement. Now, I don't think many of you would take some corn, even though you have plenty. You wanted tomatoes. That's why you planted your tomatoes. Specific purpose. And you expected to get tomatoes from that tomato plant. So, we can see why God might be upset when He comes back for our service and what fruit He's asked us to bear, and then He doesn't find it. Today we're going to look to try to answer three questions. First question is, does God see me as producing fruit? The second question, how do I become productive if I find myself not to be producing fruit? And question number three, how can I produce in abundance? Now, to answer these questions, we're going to look for some instructions from John chapter 15. We're going to begin with verse 1, reading through verse 17. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commands, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. So, question number one, does God see me as producing fruit? If you are not following God's will, you're not seeking God's will for your life, and you do not have Jesus at the center of your life, it doesn't matter what you're doing and how good it may seem. If it's not God's will and Jesus is not a part of it, then he will not see you as producing fruit, and you are in need of repentance. If God's given you a calling, and we're avoiding that calling, if we're not serving where God is trying to send us to go, if we're not going there, then he is going to find us barren and without fruit and in danger of being removed. So we must repent as we look at how we become fruitful. The first thing, we must repent if we find ourselves not to be following God's will. And we must seek out his will. Not our will, but God's will, his guidance. Now, once he gives us that will and we know exactly what God wants us to do and he's speaking to our heart and every day, it may be a little something different. We may have one specific purpose for our life, but every day he gives us little things where he speaks to us for us to go do. And we must be obedient to this. Why ask him what he wants you to do if you're not going to do it? And as Jesus was obedient to his Father's command, he laid down his life. He didn't want to. As a human, he asked not to do that. But it was his Father's command. It was his purpose for us. And he was obedient. So it's out of that love that we must act in love. Let love be a part of the works that we do, so that God and his love for us can be seen. And through the works that we do, people will know that we are acting out of love, just as God has loved us. In addition to this obedience, we must include trust. Trust is crucial for our obedience. Reason for this is because God does not always call us or ask us to do something that's in our comfort zone. I want to stop right quick and make sure we know we're not talking about talents. Your talent may be part of what God has called you to do, but this is not about using your talents, because most of the time our talent is what's in our comfort zone. We know that we're good at it and we're more comfortable doing these things, but God calls us to do things and we have to trust that he knows exactly where he's putting us and why, and that he's going to be there with us. As I stand here this morning, this is not my comfort zone. I am not a talented speaker. I am a loud speaker, but I am not a talented speaker. Many people in here are much better at speaking, would be much better at standing and addressing a group than anything that I can do. The only reason that I'm able to stand up here, and those of you who have stood up here behind this pulpit can attest that we stand here trusting that the Spirit will take over our words and will present them in the way that God would have us to produce them. So, when we are following God's will, maybe it's out of our comfort zone, but we're trusting him, we're being obedient, and we've accepted these things that God has asked us to do, now we're not just a shade tree. the vineyard owner wasn't satisfied that this tree was full of leaves and he could sit under it and get some shade. He wanted some figs. So, now that we've become obedient to God's command, now we're soaking up all this fertilizer and we're putting on more than leaves. We're soaking up all the things that he's given us to grow. And now we're beginning to put on fruit. That takes us to question number 3. Producing abundantly. Say, well, I'm putting on fruit, so now he's not going to be disappointed in me. Would you be disappointed if you had a tree that only produced one piece of fruit every year? Still not quite there. We're doing better and we're showing promise. But if we're truly trying to serve God, we must continue to grow. And we must increase our fruitfulness. We can't just be satisfied with where we are. We must continue to grow. It says, as we read in John, in verse number 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So if we're bearing fruit, he's not going to take us away. But also, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So again, he's not done with us. It says it right here. He wants us to continue to be more productive. So how do we do that? There's a small word. We've already discussed putting love in those things that we do, but there's an even smaller word that I don't want us to overlook. And that's joy. If we want to remain in a state of growth in the things we do, we must not forget to include joy. We must work for the Lord and be joyful about it. Anyone who's ever worked with anyone else, whether it be on a job or at home, if when you work with this person, if they're not joyful, those feelings can rub off on you. And everybody slows down. But a joyful worker, we know there's been plenty of studies done on this, the happiness. That's why a lot of companies will offer different benefits, different bonuses. They want happy workers because happy workers produce more. So if we include joy in those things we do, it's going to show. We're going to produce more. We cannot grudgingly be obedient to God, because if we're grudgingly obedient, people are going to see that and they're going to look at your service and say, they're not happy serving God. Why do I want to serve God? If they're not happy going to that church, why do I want to visit there? So we must find a way to accept what God has given us to do and be joyful in our service. This way, people will want to be a part of what you're doing. Which takes us back to Luke. As we look at our last two verses, verses 8 and 9, we see this vineyard worker or gardener. And it doesn't say here that he's joyful. It doesn't say that he enjoys his work. But if he didn't enjoy his work, why did he volunteer to help this tree? Why did he volunteer to take more work? He didn't say, well, good, cut the thing down. I'm tired of worrying about it. That's less work to do. Or he didn't say, well, master, this is a good shade tree. Just enjoy the shade. He didn't defend the tree. He spoke up and said, let me work with it. I want to try to help this tree and see if we can't get some production out of this tree. Now, why would he do that if he wasn't happy with his work? So his joy took on this extra task of working with this tree. Because imagine the joy if the master came back and this tree was full of fruit, and year after year it continued to grow in fruit. Maybe it would grow fruit so abundantly that the fruit would begin to drop off on the ground because it couldn't all be gathered. And then what happens? Other trees start to spring up. And so this tree, because of its production, would begin to spread out. And as we know, more trees means more fruit. New Sterling, today we need to serve with joy. When we go out to our community, people need to see the joy that we have through our service to God. Because only through this joy is God's word going to spread. When Jesus is at the center and people can see the joy we have in our service and they can tell that we're acting out of love, they're going to see that. They're going to want to be part of it. And maybe without even realizing it, at your daily job, people see the joy that you have with your life and they want to ask you about it, or they want to find out. Because everybody's looking for happiness. I don't know many people on this earth that aren't. Nobody wants to live a life without it. So, if we can be more productive, then we're going to grow. But if not, the doors may close, and we may be cut down, just as this tree that didn't bear any fruit. Before we go, I know it's lunchtime is coming up soon. A lot of people may be getting hungry. I know some of you kids eat real early. Before we go, I want to give one more example. As you go out today or this week and you're going out to your favorite restaurant, I know a lot of you may like seafood and you're looking forward to that specific seafood dish, or maybe you want to enjoy a ribeye steak at your steakhouse. Some of you kids might be looking forward to going to the pizza buffet, get your pizza. Think about if you get there and you sit down and place your order. You've been looking forward to this meal all week. That waitress says, "I'm sorry, but we don't have any seafood. I know it's a seafood restaurant, but we don't have any seafood today." Maybe your steakhouse says, "I'm sorry, I know this is a steakhouse, but we don't have any steak. Maybe you like a pork chop." Or maybe you kids get to the pizza buffet bar and, "Sorry, we don't have any pizza today. How about some salad? You got a lot of lettuce over there." See, you chose those places for expectation. You had an expectation of getting something. You're going to pay money, you expect to get something in return. How disappointed are we when it's not there? When we're refused? Those restaurants that are putting out the product that people want, they're putting on chains. They're opening other restaurants. But the ones that aren't satisfying people, the ones that have grumpy waitresses even, or waiters, grumpy service, the doors are closing. And we're going to run out of time because there was a time limit on this. He said, "Give them 1 year." Well, we don't know when our year started. If we're not bearing fruit, we don't know when our year began, and that year may run out. And so repentance and changing what we're doing so that we may be more fruitful is God's command, that we are not cut down or removed and cast into the fire.